Hollywood comes to Dublin. We love movies with Gordon Hayden. Spin 103.8.
Still to come, we'll be reviewing Manchester by the Sea, starring Casey Affleck. He won a Golden Globe, of course, during the week for his performance in that. Plus, we'll be finding out what is top of the cinema charts with Rachel in this week's box office report. But now we're going to turn our attention to La La Land, which is also out this weekend. Ryan Gosling and Emma Stone star in the film. Here they are now telling us about their experiences working on La La Land.
It was really fun. We were so lucky because we had the luxury of time, which is really rare. Like, to rehearse for almost 3 months is, I think, unheard of for even like a musical play. That was really nice that we got to sort of, you know, go for it.
Well, there's a lot of factors that were appealing about this. First, I met Damien before I read the script, so he's just a very infectious person who loves film, who knows not only why he loves film, but why he fell in love with it in the first place. And I think he's a filmmaker that can transfer that love to the audience. So that's exciting. And on top of that, he really wanted to make a film that you wanted to go to the theater and see and not watch on your iPhone. And when I read this, I thought he really has a shot at making something like what he was talking about the night that I met him. And then I heard the music. And then it was an opportunity to work with Emma again. So it all just started snowballing, and it was really a great, great experience.
Rory, 7 Golden Globes.
A record.
Brilliant stuff for La La Land. That really now has to put it out in front when it comes to the Oscars, which are fast approaching. So for those in the dark about this one, what's happening?
Well, it's set in modern day Los Angeles, and it tells the burgeoning love story of Emma Stone's character, who was a wannabe actress going to all these auditions and finding it very, very difficult to get her break. And she keeps crossing paths with Ryan Gosling's jazz musician, who has aspirations to open up his own jazz club, but is finding himself a little bit financially bothered because a previous partner of his, who's played by John Legend, kind of done him over with a previous work thing. So the two of them keep crossing paths over and over again. Until eventually they just kind of succumb to the fact that maybe the universe is trying to shove them together for a reason.
All right, here is a clip from La La Land.
I got a call back.
What? Come on. For what?
For a TV show. The one that I was telling you about earlier.
The Dangerous Minds meets the OC?
Yeah.
Congratulations. That's
really
incredible.
Exciting. I feel like I said negative stuff about it before.
What?
It's like Rebel Without a Cause, sort of.
I got the bullets.
Yes.
You've never seen it.
I've never seen it.
Oh, my. You know it's playing at the Rialto.
Really?
Yes. You should go. I mean, I can take you.
Okay.
You know, for research.
For research?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Monday night, 10 o'clock.
Yeah, great.
Okay.
For research.
So, Rory, for people who wouldn't be massive fans of musicals, just try and set this up for me. So are there moments where they break into song, like a standard musical, or is it just there are just like more like dance sequences? Like, what's going on?
Well, it's not Sweeney Todd. You know, it's not that everything's been sung thing. It's closer to Chicago in that it is like it's still the plot of the story. It's still conversations and normal acted out scenes. But whenever a musical bit comes on, it's more just to hammer home a specific part of the story.
Okay.
And it's done in a really clever, really funny way for a lot of it. And very romantic as well, obviously, because it's a big, massive romantic comedy drama with the two of them. And there's a lot of dancing. Like, it does have a very old school kind of Fred Astaire vibe to it, but because it's written and directed by Damien Chazelle, who did Whiplash, which we both loved just a few years ago, it does have a very, not edgy, but very current, modern awareness to it. It's not that, you know, bright-eyed, doughy-eyed, kind of saccharine, old-school thing. It is a big musical, but it's never in a way that people who dislike musicals, it doesn't give them a new reason to dislike. I think it will win over new fans of the musical.
Okay, talk to me about the performances. Ryan Gosling, Emma Stone. They've obviously got chemistry. We saw them in Gangster Squad.
Yep.
We know that they can play off each other quite well. And also Crazy Stupid Love.
Yep.
They were great in that too. So the pairing of them, it just seems like straight away we know these are going to connect. But even outside of the chemistry, are they believable in this musical-like setting?
Well, yeah, I believe they are. Like, I think Gosling learned to play the piano specifically for this film, and he does get across the intensity of someone who has a massive passion for jazz music and for music in general, and his character is very, very likable once you get to know him. But initially, there's a bit of an issue between him and Emma Stone, because it's Emma Stone who sees him first, and she kind of is like, oh, he's kind of hot, and then when she tries to approach him, he's having none of it, and completely shoots him down. And she, obviously, she's an actress playing an actress, so that's not too much of a stretch. But, and again, she's playing an adorable actress, which, you know, Emma Stone, you're kind of playing yourself. But she does the kind of easy to go with romantic thing very well. And the two of them do have some great chemistry together. But it's the plot does not take the typical turns you would expect it to.
Okay.
It is a very unique, in a way that I've never seen before, take on a romantic drama.
Wow, Rory, this is quite impressive.
Yeah, because the stuff that happened, I didn't see coming, and I was expecting to come away by going, oh, I fell in love with these as a couple, and I fell in love with Hollywood, and I fell in love with acting and musicals and blah, blah, blah. But at the end, my heart was broken. Not to say that, like, not in a negative way. It was, my heart was broken in a positive way, if that makes any sense whatsoever.
No, I get it, Rory, because, like, I think it's one of those really life-affirming movies, it seems to me. In terms of themes, then, what is it this movie wanting to celebrate? Is it old Hollywood, or what is it about romance and love that it's trying to get across?
Well, I think it's more to do with, like, opportunities and not letting anything pass you by that you think would be a positive in your life. It's about, you know, taking risks both professionally and personally, even though you know there is a very good chance that they might fail or you could end up being hurt. They are the chances that are most worth taking.
Okay.
Because, you know, even if they don't work out, you're going to learn some of the biggest lessons of your life from them not working out. And for a film to have that kind of theme, and there's a much bigger one as well that I can't talk about until a couple of months from now, when I know everyone's seen it, I go, and then we can properly discuss the major theme of La La Land. But yeah, like it's completely different to what I was expecting, and completely different in the most perfectly amazing way.
Oh, that sounds really good. I can't wait to see this now. La La Land, out of 10, Rory?
10.
Whoa.
Well, brilliant.
Now, if you were listening earlier on, we did review Underworld Blood Wars, and that got a 1 out of 10. And Rory did say that he'd be shocked if another film is worse than that this year. So to go from that now to a 10 out of 10.
I'd be shocked if there's a better film than La La Land this year. If La La Land had been released last year, it would have been my favourite film of last year.
Oh, right.
But I know we're only like 2 weeks into 2017, so we have to take it easy.
Well, there is another massive film out in cinemas this weekend as well. Again, to harken back to the Golden Globes earlier in the week, because Manchester by the Sea has also been getting incredible reviews.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's one of those movies that should feature very prominently at the Oscars. I'm going to be intrigued to know what you think of it, Rory, because that is to come very shortly. But first, here is Rachel with this week's box office report.
Starting off in the Irish box office, and Jennifer Lawrence and Chris Pratt's Passengers is in at number 5. James Franco's comedy Why Him was in the 4th spot this week, while Moana, Disney's latest animated movie, was in at number 3. Assassin's Creed starring Michael Fassbender was in at number 2. But top of the box office again this week was Rogue One, A Star Wars Story. Over in the States, and they've got it before we have, La La Land was in at number 5 in the box office. Underworld Blood Wars, a brand new entry, was in at number 4. Animated movie Sing came in at number 3. Star Wars was in at number 2. While Hidden Figures, starring Octavia Spencer and Janelle Monáe, took the top spot at the US box office this week.
Turn it up. When Hollywood comes to Dublin, we love movies with Gordon Hayden. Spin 103.8.
Now it is time to get Rory's review of Manchester by the Sea, starring Casey Affleck. Everyone keeps saying, Rory, when you go see this movie, bring the tissues.
Yep.
You are desperately going to need the tissues while watching this film.
Yep.
So before we get into how it affected you, tell me about...
It's been a very emotionally draining week for me.
Before we get into it, Rory, tell us about what is going on with the story.
Well, Casey Affleck is living this lonely life in a small town as a janitor, essentially, and a maintenance man for a few apartment blocks. And he gets a phone call telling him that his brother has died. His brother's played by, he was in Friday Night Lights and he was in Super 8. You know, the...
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh.
Such a good actor. Yes. He was in King Kong as well. Mm. You know who I mean.
Yes.
You all know who I mean. That guy. That's who his brother's played by. He finds out that his brother has died and he is now the legal guardian of his brother's son, who he hasn't seen in a couple of years. So Casey Affleck moves back to the town he came from, moves into the house where the son is now kind of essentially living on his own, and tries to organise the funeral arrangements for his dead brother. And over the course of that, we are introduced to Michelle Williams, who is Casey Affleck's ex-wife. And there's some very obvious emotional sadness and tension between the two of them. And over the course of the film, you find out why it is that they became ex-husband and ex-wife, and why it is that Casey Affleck has kind of essentially decided to, you know, section himself off from any emotional availability and the rest of the people around them.
Okay, we'll leave it at that there in terms of the plot. Let's get a clip now from Manchester by the Sea.
I don't have anything big to say.
It's okay.
I know you've been around and
Just been getting Patrick settled in.
It seems like he's doing pretty good, huh? Considering.
I think he is, yeah.
I guess you don't know this, but I really kept in touch with Joe. It's been kind of weird for me not seeing Patrick. Oh, okay. I didn't know.
If you could see him if you want.
Could we ever have lunch?
You mean us? You and me?
Yeah.
Rory, tell me, how much did you cry?
Last 40 minutes, ball, didn't stop crying.
Oh my God.
From like 40 minutes from the end to the end of the film.
40 minutes? My God, yeah. You must be dehydrated.
I was... Gordon. it was one of those real slow burner is not the right word, because that kind of indicates you might be a bit bored by it. Mm. But it was, you're constantly intrigued as to why it is, what it is that has happened. Yeah. Not in like, is this a mystery kind of way, but you're just kind of, why is Casey Affleck's character like this? What has he done? Because it's every now and again the film cuts back to earlier when his brother was still alive, or when he was still with Michelle Williams' character, and you could see he's this completely different guy, very like full of life, full of joy, very loving to his family and his nephew, who's now quite emotionally distant from. And then when that, you know, edits back to the current day, and he's just this like shell of a man who just very quiet, very prone to like massive bursts of violence, and you know something terrible must have happened. And then when the film decides to finally show its hand, which is 40 minutes from the end or so, destroyed.
No.
Destroyed.
I heard Casey Affleck puts in one of the best performances of his career.
Yeah, because he gets to show... You know the way we were talking about Ruth Negga in Loving, the way her character is, which is so low-key but brilliantly done. In this, Affleck manages to do the same thing. He gets to be low-key, but he also gets to do the flip side of it, in that we see every... you know, aspect of this unique individual, and the fact that what his character has been put through, like Affleck's performance in it is Casey Affleck, because I know we're going to talk about the other Affleck in a minute, but his performance is crazy good. I think when it comes to the Oscars, he will be Gosling for Best Actor.
Okay, Rory, let's get the scores then out of 10.
10.
Another 10. You know what, you old tease, I thought that La La Land now would be the one that would be the towering inferno this week with a 10 out of 10. So this is after getting 2 10 out of 10s. It's been a while actually now.
I haven't given a 10 since we've had a long time.
Yes, and even since we've had 2 10 out of 10s in the 1 week.
Whew, wrecked.
God, I'm bowled over. I'm going to be an emotional mess at the end of this.
When Hollywood comes to Dublin, we love movies with Gordon Hayden. Spin 103.8.
Roy Cashin, thank you so much for that. Really appreciate it. To get more movie news and film reviews, log on to spin1038.com/movies. That's our lot for this week. We'll catch up with you again on next week's We Love Movies.